Ramsey TV.
I just want to tell people to jump on the Paul train. That's not so bad, is it? Just do it. The funny thing is, people think I'm Mr. Absolute. I believe all is of God, which I do. I believe that God is operating all in the council, according to the counsel of his own will. And I do believe that. All is out of, through, and into God, Romans 11:36. I believe that. But at the same time, I exhort you, I beg you, I plead with you, jump on the Paul train. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, making sense for a living since 1993. I made sense before that. I just didn't do it for a living. Have you noticed that some people, they'll just go to college and they'll get a degree and then they'll get another degree and another degree and they keep going to college. They keep getting educated, quote unquote, and it's all to what? To what? To avoid getting a job, to avoid real life. It's an insulated world, and they never have to really face reality. It's easy for people to do that. And with some of you men out there, it's the same thing with marriage. You just want to date women, right? You don't want to make that commitment. And so you'll just date and date and date. This is what I was talking about yesterday with Paul's evangel. The truth of the evangel is right with you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. Grab it. But again, as I said yesterday, some people, they don't want to commit to it because they don't want to be seen as rigid. And a lot of you have been through Orthodox religions where you have been deceived, and you've been in a cult. Many people out there in the worldwide Church of God, it's a cult. I know it's a cult. You know it's a cult. So you've said to yourself, I'm never going to let that happen again. I'm never again going to listen to a man interpret the scriptures. And so by doing that, you screw yourselves out of a man interpreting the scriptures, me. But the thing is, it's truth. I'm bringing you truth. But if you adhere to this, I'll never do that again in order to avoid hurting myself, then you're not living. You're not reaching. You're not grasping. It's the same thing with those of you who have been unlucky in love. You've been hurt, and you say, that's it, I'm never going to hurt again. Who was it? Was it Robert Goulet? Said, never gonna fall in love again. Yeah, I'm never gonna fall in love again. That kind of thing. Never gonna fall in love again. I'm never gonna let anybody hurt me again. And then the perfect woman comes along and you miss her because I'm never gonna fall in love again. Never gonna fall in love again. So you've been screwed by organized religion. Yes. But don't make that shut you down to when the truth arrives. The truth has arrived. The Paul train has pulled into the station. This is it. Grab it. Do not delay adulthood any longer. Lots of kids do that too. They want to live with mom and dad. They want to avoid the real world. Everybody wants to avoid getting a job, joining the real world. I understand it. I mean, not really, because, you know, as a teenager, I went out, got a job. I left home when I could and made it on my own. And, of course, that's relatively speaking. And great adventures lay ahead for you. Jesus said to one guy in Luke 9:59, he said, follow me, follow me. What did the guy say? Well, let me wait, bury my father. I got some things to do. I got to take care of some business. My father died. I got to bury him. That's the most obvious thing, but I also have to build a swing set for my kids. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. In other words, like, it's the time is now. That is the whole thrust of Romans chapter 10, which I read to you yesterday. I'm going to read it again. The righteousness of faith is saying thus. Again, I said yesterday this is a difficult passage. I explained it. I'm going to amplify it. I'm going to continue paraphrasing my own newsletter here from June of 2016. Romans 10, verse 6. The righteousness of faith is saying thus. You may not be saying in your heart, who will be ascending into heaven, that is to be leading Christ down, or who will be descending into the submerged chaos, that is to be leading Christ up from among the dead. But what is it saying? Near you is the declaration, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the declaration of faith, which we are heralding. Paul and his friends were heralding it then. I'm heralding it now. Paul's gospel is, I have to tell you, I have to share a personal experience with you, okay? Without getting anybody in any trouble or telling anybody's names, I was at a conference in Indianapolis, and it was in Indiana. It was not in Indianapolis. And there's a believer there. Great believer in Paul's gospel. And someone related to him was coming to the meetings that I was heralding. I was holding. For Freudian slip. I was also heralding. And she came to every meeting. And what she would always say is, well, what you say is really interesting. Even, what you say is fascinating. Even, you have a real conviction concerning the truth. And I'm going to be considering these things. Great. I thought that was great. A year later, still considering. And in the meantime, going to church. Well, you're going to consider these things right into the tribulation. Because the word, the heralding, the evangel is right in your face. I was there in your city. I heralded it in the garage. You heard it. It was near your heart. It was near your mouth. And yet, you said to God what the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers said to Paul in Acts chapter 17. And they said this, we will be hearing you again on this issue sometime. Let me quote them directly. Acts 17:32. On hearing of the resurrection of the dead, these indeed jeered. Some of them just booed, threw tomatoes at Paul, other fruits and vegetables. But these other ones said, we will hear you concerning this again also. In other words, that sounds interesting. We'll talk to you some other time. See ya. See you next time around. Thus, Paul came out of their midst. I love verse 34. Yet some men, being joined to him, believe, among whom were Dionysus. I thought it was Dionysus, but no, there's an extra vowel in there. I didn't buy that, but there it is. Dionysius the Areopagite. There it is, Dionysius the Areopagite. Also, and a woman named Damaris. I love this woman named Damaris. Don't even know who she is. Going to meet her someday. Can't wait. And others with them. So this woman, we'll hear you again sometime. Stop back. You're a pleasant individual. Your words are full of power and truth. And you have a great presentation. Loved your show. Come on back sometime. It's like, right over the head. Doesn't want to, just right in the face. Well, no, right in the face. No. Seeking, looking, considering. You're going to consider it right into the tribulation. Right into the tribulation. I thought of a verse after I finished my show yesterday, and I said, why didn't I mention this verse? And then I can't read it in my scriptures because that page is ripped. It's in 2 Timothy. That's the most worn part of my scriptures. And then two people, Gabe Alexander was one of them. I can't remember who the other one was. Two people wrote this verse in their comments on the video yesterday. And this is a great verse because it goes right along with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul talks about perilous periods will be present at the end of this eon. And he mentions this amazing statement. In verse 7, always learning and yet not at any time able to come into a realization of the truth. Always learning. And that's the fashion. The fashion is to be seeking, to be learning, to be considering everything, to be an eclectic collector of various scriptural theories, even non-scriptural theories, doesn't matter, scriptural, non-scriptural, just the collection of so-called wisdom. And yet this is defined by Paul so perfectly in 2 Timothy 3. When he says in verse 7, always learning and yet not at any time able to come into a realization of truth. That able suggests that God either makes you unable or unable, and that is true. That's the absolute viewpoint. That's the God street I talked about last week. But I don't know who God has made able or unable, so it's my job and the job of an evangelist to herald the word, and I heralded it exhaustively in Indiana. And many people received it, some people don't. I'm just like Paul at Mars Hill, basically. I just go out, put it out there, some people jeer, some say, like this woman, well, we'll hear you again sometime, stop back, you're a good kid. And others believe, they come up to you and they say, man, what you said makes sense, I have an antenna for it, I've been waiting for this all my life, thank you, because I and others have the words of aeonian life. All right, now, let's get back to where I was in my newsletter. This is EWTF, Volume 5, Issue 25, June 19th, 2016. The title of this newsletter is The Simplicity and Immediacy of Faith. Where I left off yesterday, I was paraphrasing Moses, because Paul is borrowing from Moses when he says, you may not be saying in your heart. Paul doesn't want you to say this. Who will be ascending in the heaven? That is to be leading Christ down. Who will be descending into the submerged chaos? That is to be leading Christ up from among the dead. But what is it saying? Near you is the declaration. And I was always puzzled by this statement. But since I was writing an entire series on the book of Romans, a commentary, basically, I had to wrestle with this. And it's from Deuteronomy Chapter 30, verses 11 through 14, Moses to the people of Israel. This instruction is what I'm enjoining on you today. This is a review from yesterday that I'm going to launch on the new material. It is neither too difficult for you, nor is it too far off. It's not difficult, it's not far. Paul's gospel, not difficult, not far. The death of Christ for sin. There are a couple of theological theories that come in there that can wreck that, but the declaration itself is simple. And Moses is saying this concerning the law, which I think was complicated. Paul's declaration is simple compared to this, but this is Moses. It's neither too difficult for you, nor is it far off. It is neither in the heavens for you to say, who shall ascend to the heavens for us and take it for us and announce it to us that we may do it? Nor is it across the sea for you to say, who shall cross the sea for us and take it for us and announce it to us that we may do it? People are looking for a dramatic search. Right, people, it's a romantic idea that I'm on a dramatic search for the truth. And God help you if you ever arrive at the truth. Because once you arrive at the truth, you're no longer searching. And that kind of ruins everything for some people. They don't want to land on anything, as I said yesterday. For the word is exceedingly near you. Paul's nearly quoting directly Moses in Romans 10 from Deuteronomy 30. The word is exceedingly near you in your mouth and in your heart to do it. This is my paraphrase of Moses, and then I'm going to give you my paraphrase of Paul. I started with my paraphrase of Moses yesterday, but I kept stopping and commenting. This is my paraphrase of Moses. Quit trying to make this hard, Israel. You don't have to chase this thing, either up or down or sideways, although I know you want to, because I know you. See, you would rather chase it than attain it. It's the high adventure of pursuit for you. As long as you never catch the thing, as long as you can dream about the law, talk about it, or hold somber meetings concerning it, then it can never hang you over its hook. You say that you want to obey God's dictates, but that's only because the dictates to you are still afar off, a theoretical wonderland at the end of a noble quest. I know this must come as calamitous news, what I'm about to tell you. You would prefer, I realize, to call yet another strategy session, appoint a committee, send out a search party, order drinks, than to hear that the precepts are now in your midst, deposited before you by a simple man such as myself, Moses speaking. Stop looking at the sky then. Look at your dining room table instead, and get rid of the idol next to the napkin holder. That is act, do. I'm Mr. Absolute. This is Martin Zender talking, and I'm telling you this. I know the absolute viewpoint. I know the God Street. The only God can give someone faith. And yet, I am a heralder. I am an announcer, just like Moses was concerning the law, just like Paul was concerning the gospel of grace. Grab it. It's here. The Philippian jailer said to Paul and to Silas, "Gentlemen, what must I do to be being saved?" Paul says, "Believe. Believe, and you shall be being saved." You got me, the apostle of the nations, in your jail. Thank you very much. That wasn't very nice, but you brought me out of there. Well, no, actually, it was an earthquake. Now you're cleansing my wounds, giving me a little wine, and now you're asking me, because you're impressed by the miracle of me being delivered from jail by a divine earthquake, what must I be doing to be saved? Gentlemen. Now they're gentlemen. Before they were ruffians, they were criminals. Now they're gentlemen. What must I be doing to be being saved? That is, how do I come into a realization of this truth that you and Silas are heralding in spite of your bleeding backs? Paul said, "Believe. It's right here. It's in front of your eyes. It's in front of your heart. It's in your mouth. Believe. Confess." I'm going to get to that confess thing in Romans chapter 10. People get bent out of shape about that. If you confess with your mouth, you shall be being saved. Well, first of all, it's the incomplete verb form. You shall be being saved. This is not absolute salvation. That happened 2,000 years ago. That's when you were saved. Absolutely. But you're coming to a realization of your salvation. This is what God gives you as you go through life one day, like the Philippian jailer. Boom. Oh, what must I do to be coming to a realization of this truth? Paul puts it right in front of his face. He says, "Believe. Believe what we're telling you. It's that simple. It's near your heart. You don't have to search for it on some wild goose chase, Easter egg hunt. You don't have to dig into the ground, try to dig Christ back up. No, you don't have to go on a long voyage. You don't have to do any fancy footwork. We're here. I'm the apostle of the nations. I'm in your freaking jail. You're the luckiest man on the planet, Philippian jailer. Here I am. I'm the man. I'm going to be famous someday. I'm a criminal now, but I have words of aeonian life," says Paul. "And I, Martin Zender, have words of aeonian life. And you, when you herald this message to anyone, you have the words of aeonian life. And you don't tell people, 'Well, think about it. Get back with me. Let me know.' No, believe it. Here it is. It's in your midst. It's in your heart. Let it be at your mouth and confess the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died, literally died for your sins. He took care of your sins, not your free will. He was entombed and he was roused by God on the third day." That's the evangel. And believe it before it's too late. Yeah, you know what? This is the funny thing. You know, the Christians are all about turn or burn. It's like, act now or you'll lose it. They're thinking of eternal life. They have eternal life in mind. What I'm telling you is aeonian life. This doesn't screw up. If you reject me or what I say, it doesn't screw up your eternal life. You already have that because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. But I have words of aeonian life. And like the tribulation is starting, like, for those who like the word like soon. And like, if you don't like believe what I'm telling you, like, you're going to go like through the tribulation. And I'm like, I don't think you will like that. Like, so listen to me now and believe the evangel now. Go through all my videos if you don't know what the evangel is. Do some work. Search it. People ask me, "And come on, where was that one video where you said that you highlighted all the evangel?" I said, "I'll have to look at it just like you do. So just do a search. Look, Martin Zender, gospel, and you'll find a bunch of videos." So Moses to the people is like, just, you know, you got something to do right here. You got an idol next to the napkin holder on your table. Get rid of that. That's a good start. Stop pondering the possibility of a great nautical adventure in which you will seek the meaning of everything. while despising your associates, stealing your neighbor's wife, because the answer, Moses says to the Israelites, is now graspable. I've brought it to you. So honor your parents starting now. Stop lying to one another and about one another. I can spot a stall tactic from 100 cubits, people. You're stalling. You're stalling. You just want to seek for eternity so you don't have to land anywhere and do anything. Don't suppose that the pseudo-nobility of your multisyllabic pronouncements deceive me concerning you. Oh, we shall cross the sea, you pronounce ponderously. Oh, that's really precious. Yeah, you're going to cross the sea. Oh, that's very poetic. No, it's sick. I'm not tricked. Stop wasting my time and yours. Drop the Shakespeare. Really. And see what has now come to you. The law is now chiseled unmistakably in stone. This was back in the old days. Drop the melodrama. Unhand the bacon. Yeah, they weren't allowed to eat bacon in those days. Nothing made of pork. Funny line here. This is my article. Let go the bosom of your neighbor's wife. Always a great idea. Let go the bosom of your neighbor's wife. Nice way to put it. Fire the planning committee. Drop anchor. You're not going anywhere. Drop anchor. This is what I'm telling everyone today. Drop anchor. Claim this. And this is not a name it, claim it Christian evangelistic thing. They've perverted it. They equate it with eternal life. I'm equating it to aeonian life. What I would tell that woman in Indiana is believe it today. Believe it now. It's right here. It's in front of you. I'm heralding it. What are you doing? I'm going to talk to you. We'll think about it. Think about it. The window is closing, lady. The window to aeonian life is closing. The gospel of grace is a limited window. It's going like this. Just like the door of the ark started to close. You're going to miss it. What do you think about it? What's more important? What's more important? Oh, how poetic. How sick. No, I'm not tricked. Stop wasting my time. Drop the Shakespeare. The law is now chiseled unmistakably in stone. Drop the melodrama. Unhand the bacon. Let go of the bosom of your neighbor's wife. Fire the planning committee, drop anchor. You're not going anywhere. Neither shall you be visited by further revelations. Oh, God, that's a good one. Neither shall you be visited by further revelations. I, Martin Zenner, might be your only quote-unquote chance to hear the evangel. Or there might be somebody in your midst who's telling you the evangel every day, and you can't hear it. Maybe you stumble at the messenger. I don't know. I try not to do anything to make you stumble myself. I don't know if other people are causing other people to stumble. That's not my department. But the journey is now the task at hand. Okay, now I'm going to paraphrase Paul to end this show. I know I reviewed a little bit from yesterday. That's okay. We can all use it. Now I'm going to paraphrase. I said some new stuff. What Paul wants to do in Romans 10, he wants to tell the believers in Rome that the righteousness of faith is here and now. It's in their hearts, it's in their mouths. When it comes to God, this kind of divine immediacy cuts against the grain. Yeah, because in our experience, God is always like just around the corner. Like he's always portrayed as somebody to be pursued. Just keep seeking, keep seeking. Humans are idealists, right? It's always somewhere over the rainbow, basically. Somewhere over the rainbow. Humans are idealists. And as such, they want to wait until all their ducks are lined up. Or they're waiting for God to actually show up, I don't know, before believing anything, embracing anything, confessing anything, trying anything. Paul won't have it. No, it's as though he were saying to the Romans, this is my paraphrase of Paul, and that I might just lock this up on Monday, but today I want you to hear this. It's going on long enough here. Paul says, who shall ascend into heaven? Okay, that was a Jewish expression drafted to describe any difficult task. Like, who shall ascend into heaven? Like, oh, what are you going to do? Climb into heaven or something? To say that something was high as heaven expressed the thought that one had to go to heaven to understand it. In other words, such a thing was impossible. Like, well, my gospel is so hard. And what have I told you so many times? The gospel's not hard. What's hard is untangling the BS, the religious BS, the church BS from it. It's taking the foreign elements that have been injected into it or braided into it that is hard. But the gospel itself is easy. And then Paul says, who shall descend into the underworld? Traveling down into the underworld was equally unfeasible. What are you going to do? Get a big shovel? Dig a hole? So here's my paraphrase of Paul. There's no more need to either seek or wait, people. And I'm telling this to you. Paul's telling it to the believers in Rome. It's not as though I'm asking you to do anything. Well, perhaps that's what you're used to. Perform, do somersaults, recite Shakespeare. I'm just telling you to believe. I know only God can give that belief, but I'm telling you to do it. To give God a stage to perform on. No one's requesting a performance from you personally, but I'm saying it. I'm saying to believe because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to herald. I'm supposed to exhort you to believe so that I myself wait and see what God's going to do. So don't look up as though someone is requiring you to rise high to find Christ. People like that. They actually like to think that they have to like do this difficult climb, climb Mount Everest, climb to the heaven to find Christ. Paul's saying no. Paul's saying no, you don't have to do that. Who shall ascend into heaven? That was a phrase back then for saying nobody's going to do it, nobody can do it. So don't look up as though someone is requiring you to rise high to find Christ and then bring him down from heaven. Don't look down as though Christ were still in the grave, needing awakened and pulled up to earth. He's already come down. He's already been raised up. God did it all, dear Romans. And I, Martin Zender, say this to you today. God has done it all. All that is left for you is to believe. But that itself is a gift. That also is a gift. But I'm exhorting you to do it. I, Martin Zender, Paul, whoever is exhorting people to believe, we still exhort them. Then we see if God gives them the faith to believe, because they can't do it on their own. But God uses heralds to give him a, how shall we say, to give him, capital H, a canvas to paint a masterpiece on. Think of the righteousness of faith as a living thing that is crying out to you. It wants to be embraced here and now. The righteousness of faith, that is to believe Paul's message of the completeness of Christ's death, for taking away sin, for bringing you into the celestial realms eventually, for declaring you righteous. This message is as near as your mouth, and it's as vibrant as your heart. Christ accomplished the righteousness. All that is left for you, dear Romans, which is left for you, you can't do unless Christ invades your world and inserts the faith, that is, to believe what has already been done.